This is Amber Ray.
And Rusty Tanton.
And you're listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network, the show that cries over broken glass. Today is November 16th, and this is the second of two podcasts from our Tennessee road trip back in mid-October. We interviewed three staffers from WKRN, a Nashville television station that was last place in the ratings, then underwent a restructuring where instead of having separate reporters and cameramen, everyone was trained as a VJ or video journalist. WKRN is one of the only local news stations in the country attempting to use this model. Stay tuned to learn how it's been working out so far.
We're here with
Christian Grantham, producer at WKRN.com.
All right, could you just tell us a little bit about what you do here?
I do a couple of different things. It's a kind of a new hybrid position, and it's doing some web stuff. It's mostly with the blog side of things, and a little bit of producing on-air content.
You were telling us that, first of all, the whole WKRN's moved to this VJ model where instead of having two-man crews of a reporter and a camera person go out, you just have one person go out with a camera and make these video pieces. And part of what your job, you were telling us, is to give these people blogs so that they can put up supplemental content.
Right. You know, it kind of the idea there is, you know, we're kind of in an on-demand kind of environment with video or with media consumption. So you have people going online and looking for the content that they want to see right then. The VJs put together great 2 minute, you know, 1.5 minute, 2 minute packages, mm-hmm. and they're very ideal for on-demand viewing. Mm-hmm. If a VJ typically has a beat, so for instance, Jennifer Moran there has homes and lifestyles. This is having a blog is a perfect way for her to post her video. So her videos are archived and they're there for people to view whenever they want. But two, in a minute and a half or 2 minutes that she has on television, there's not enough time for her to say everything she wants. The blog allows her to do that and also interact with more readers and post, you know, people who comment and all of that. So it's adding a kind of an interaction component between the person who's on air and the audience too.
So the television program almost acts as kind of a wrap-up of sort of this deeper news content that is available on the website.
Right. What we're basically doing is, you know, we're riding this transition that's happening between an audience for online content or for on-air content, just like for newspaper content. Fewer people are reading the newspaper. Fewer people are watching the local news. Where are they going? They're going online. They're going online to find whatever it is they want to know right then. So the blogs are helping with that transition. When they come online and they're looking for Jennifer Moran's a recent community piece, the blog helps them find it, aggregates it, allows them also to actually comment about it and interact with other people on it. So
does this stuff go up before the news broadcast even goes up? Or?
Sometimes it does. Not the video stuff. The on-air, that's our business. That's where it goes first.
Yeah.
Now, Trent, for instance, he's from the Tennessean. He does a lot of investigative reporting. He's come over from the Tennessean. Sometimes he'll post stuff ahead of time, but it's just the meat of his story. He'll say, you know, I've been following this story. Tune in tonight. We'll have details. Later on, I'll post documents. So,
now, where did you come from before you came over to WKRN?
Before that, before this, I actually worked. I had a webcasting company and worked in webcasting for a company in Seattle before that, and worked in Washington, D.C. Before that, in politics.
Okay. Had you ever worked in any sort of media?
Yeah, the webcasting. No, not traditional media like
not like broadcast
television,
news,
right?
Newspaper,
broadcast
et
or print. No, it's all been online stuff.
Now, I assume though that you've watched WKRN on TV and that you've watched previous sort of
incarnations of it.
Yeah, incarnations of it, perhaps, and also just regular traditional sort of local broadcast news.
What? Yeah.
I mean, aside from the obvious that the production style is going to be a little different when you're only dealing with one person, what's different about the feel of this program?
You know, I was just, I kind of recognized this last night. Again, I was watching watching a TiVo'd version of one of our last night's cast, and we had some fan reactions to the Sarah Evans divorce story. It was really interesting to see that kind of stuff. The quality you can tell almost is a little bit different, but still there was a quick reaction that we were able to get then. The thing I noticed that's different is we're not chasing ambulances, we're not going to car crashes, we're not going to the state capitol and having some anchor stand up there and, you know, talk about, you know, they invest a lot of time with a two-man crew to actually plan out, well, this is going to happen here, or we heard this on the police scanner, let's go there to do these things. So it has to be something they know when they get there, they're going to have some video.
So it's kind of staged.
In a way, I mean, you know, yeah. there's obviously when you go to a car accident, it's not necessarily
not staged,
but they
se,
know
but
that there's something there that they're going to get. With the VJ model, they can really plan in-depth stories. Like, we have a heritage and history VJ reporter. Well, the things that he covers, you know, he knows about well in advance, so he can go and he can talk to people for a longer period of time, come back here and edit it down and have a great in-depth piece. Mm-hmm. And it's not the blood, guts, and gore kind of newscast.
Yeah.
So it's a little different like
Which
that.
Which turns me off. I mean, I quit watching local news a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean,
honestly.
If you want that, you yeah. turn on cable news and watch
yeah.
Cops, or, you know, you go over here. I mean, you can see this stuff anywhere, but locally, you like to know about your community. You don't watch your local news for the national news or you know stuff that you can watch on Cops. You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's what's different about it, and I like that. I really like that, and the on-demand aspect just makes it even better because, you know, you can go online and search the last. Oh, let me check out the video from the Fall Festival last
year. Yeah. So the my understanding is that the station sort of underwent this shift at VJs about, what, 6 months ago? About 6 months ago?
Yes, like it was probably January or February.
Yeah, something
or so.
Like that. Even now, you've only been here 2 months. What do you foresee changing in the future? How much further is this going to change how this station operates?
You know, that's a really good question, and I think if I had the answer to that, I'd be very wealthy, because people in newsrooms across the country are scratching their heads wondering where it's going to go. right now, when you look over here, you see a huge set. It's a well-designed set. There's lights hanging up here. There's monitors. There's huge cameras.
Looks like at least $100,000 in equipment up there.
There's a lot. Plus, you'll have people who run those cameras who are union cameramen probably, or, you know, you've got a control booth up there you can see through the window. Now you go to, you know, rocketboom.com. How much of this do you think that they have to make?
They probably have one HD camera and a couple of lights sitting there.
That's right.
Maybe $3,000 at most.
That's where the newsroom of the future is probably going.
Yeah.
And it makes a lot of people in the news industry very nervous. When we went to the VJ model, for instance, a lot of people left. Mm-hmm. Well, those were the old school, we need two people. I need a cameraman.
The criticism you'll hear from the old media types is, well, where are the cameraman's jobs? Where are the sound engineer's jobs?
Where's the quality? Well, you know, it's still going to be there. In fact, I would argue that when all this goes away, you're going to have a lot more money to spend on hiring more people to go out and cover more stories. So who knows where it's going to go, but if you want a hint of it, just look online.
Yeah. All right. Well, do you have any questions, Amber?
No, I've just been sitting here listening. People probably didn't even know that I was here for this segment.
But she was.
But she was. She was here in her I'm podcasting this shirt.
Yes.
Well,
okay.
All right. Thanks so much for speaking with us.
Very nice to meet you.
We're here with
Adam Kleinheider.
Yes, and you are the political blogger, correct?
Yes, I am. Volunteervoters.com.
Volunteervoters.com. All right, so you are the first political blogger for WKRN, correct?
I am.
And when you were interviewing for this job, what did they tell you why they want to all of a sudden have a political blogger?
Well, they had Brittany Gilbert, who does Nashville's Talking, aggregates all the blogs, and she has some focus on politics, but they wanted someone to get in more in depth and more into the political scene leading up to the midterm elections, obviously. So that's why I'm here.
Okay. Over the course of a typical day, how many blog posts do you write?
Somewhere between 15 to 20.
And 15 to 20 blog posts.
That's pretty amazing.
Yep.
That's a lot.
Brittany is a lot of blog posts.
Brittany's around 30 a day.
I mean, I guess, you know, if I got
some of it's
to do
just,
it, I'd...
Yeah. Some of it's just like, you know, just, you know, go see this. It's not actual, like, writing. But.
So you're kind of living the dream. You are a paid blogger.
I am a paid blogger.
Do you ever go out and cover anything, or do you mostly just
sometimes
sort of...
when there's, like, a candidate forum or a debate or something, I'll go to that.
Do you have politicians contacting you, and do you...
Sometimes, a couple times I've written something, and they wanted to clarify their position on something.
So they were angry with
they
you,
were,
basically.
They were, yes. Usually I don't get politicians calling me and saying, great post.
That's spectacular.
I disagree with nothing in your post. No, they'll usually call and say, yeah, you didn't really get this right, or I don't think you got this right.
Are you kind of like partisan, or do you try to be nonpartisan?
I am nonpartisan, but I definitely have an opinion, which is unique, I think.
So they do encourage you to actually inject your opinions into your blog
post. Yes, I definitely
inject
my opinion, and I would say I'm more conservative than liberal, but I'm not a Republican.
Mm-hmm. So are there any times when you sort of get in trouble with the conservatives? Because maybe you sort of take a stance against what they're going for.
Yeah, well, actually, one thing is I'm not a big fan of the war, and that's pretty much a litmus test issue for conservatives at this point.
How many times have you been asked why you hate America?
Oh, yeah, I have been asked that on occasion. Usually they direct that at left-leaning anti-war people, but... I have been asked that.
How many times have you been accused of being a member of the liberal media?
Oh, quite a few times, actually. Because I've said a few good things about Harold Ford Jr., who's running for Senate here. And so they'll immediately say that I'm a closet Democrat and stuff like that.
Closeted Democrat. Yeah. That's excellent. There's a whole road to go down with.
I was told I have a man crush on Harold Ford Jr.
Wow.
I was told that once.
You can't just like the guy's policies.
No.
It has to be a man crush. Okay.
Yeah.
Where have you worked before you came out here?
I was actually working in education, I suppose you'd say. I was grading the essay portions of standardized tests.
Interesting.
And I've also worked at a bookstore, stuff like that.
What led you to want to be a political blogger?
Well, they said they would pay me to sit at a computer, surf the internet,
yes,
and write blog posts. And I thought that's a good idea.
Now, were you writing a blog before you came here?
Yes, I was writing a personal blog where I was posting probably once a day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a bit of a change.
Excellent. So you haven't worked with any news organizations before. What? Paying attention, do you watch WKRN on TV, the actual newscast?
I try to, as much as possible. It's normally I'm watching it, especially at 4:30 to 5. I'm usually sitting here watching it from a perspective that most viewers probably don't see it.
Yeah. So what? I mean, I assume you've watched other local news before coming in. What? With this move to VJs versus sort of the two-man crews that a lot of the other local news outfits use, what's different about this program?
Well, because it's the one-man thing, you have more options. You have more people. Mm-hmm. You don't have to just, at the beginning of the day, traditionally they would just say, okay, what are the four big stories?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now they can put people on beats. You know, there's a religion guy, there's a real estate guy. There's all different beats, and they just... You know, they have more time to research and tell, you know, longer stories and stories that wouldn't get covered in the traditional format.
In some ways, that almost sounds more like the structure of a newspaper than like the structure of a local newspaper.
And that's the whole thing.
Or news station, excuse me.
And that's the whole thing. All different medias are converging. They actually hired a Tennessean reporter, mm-hmm. a newspaper reporter, and made him into a VJ.
Now, and that's interesting. Yeah. How have you experienced some of your coworkers saying, "Well, this is kind of difficult for me," or do they find the transition pretty easy?
Sometimes there's a little bit of a struggle because obviously, if you've been reporting all your life, you haven't been, working
behind
with
the camera.
Working a camera, and there's, sometimes it's difficult to interview someone mm-hmm. and hold the camera because mm-hmm. usually they would just be able to move around and have someone else mm-hmm. taking care of that. So yeah, there's some issues with that. But
yeah. Now, what I had heard before is that everybody in the entire office gets trained to use a camera and gets mm-hmm. trained to write some semblance of a story. I guess that means you've been through this training?
That is not true. I've not been through that training because I came here after they made the transition. Okay. At the time they made the transition, they had a big group of mm-hmm. trainers in here, and they just trained everybody. And since I missed that, I haven't. But pretty much everybody else has been. So I'm unique in that way.
Excellent.
How is there a pretty active political blogosphere here in Nashville?
Oh,
yes, definitely. There's every ideology, every partisan candidate, every there's all sorts of.
That's just interesting
vibrant,
because
yeah.
we have a pretty active one in Atlanta, and I'm just always interested to find out what it's like in other cities.
We were just in Greensboro this weekend, and we were surprised to learn North Carolina, and we were actually very surprised, I guess, to mm-hmm. learn just how active everything is. There's city council members who have their own websites and actually interact with people in the comments. And do you know of anything like that here?
Oh, yeah, we have a couple of, at least one state legislator, Stacy mm-hmm. Canfield, who has a pretty active blog. He gets a little bit of flack for his spelling. He's not the best speller.
Needs to hit that F7 before he goes.
Yeah, neither am I, so.
Well, excellent.
All
Do you
right.
have any other things?
No.
All right. Well, thanks so much for speaking.
All right. Thank you.
We're here with
Heather Emmons, the web producer for WKRN.com.
Okay. And
who is very young, but is doing a great job. According to her coworker.
Yes.
Hey, use my name.
Yes.
Firehouse. Chris Bungard, a WKRN video journalist.
So everybody's a video journalist here, apparently.
Yeah, but what you would think of as a reporter is not at this station. They're called VJs, or video journalists.
So you've worked at previous...
I have.
At sort of traditional
mm-hmm.
local news...
A station in Pittsburgh, actually.
And there's sort of... I get a sense of some of these people have a little bit of dread when they hear video journalists.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. And so were you here for the transition?
I was not, unfortunately. I've been here for, it'll be a year in February. And I think the transition happened, it was just a year over the summer. So it's been, I think maybe July, so it's been about... 14 or 15 months since the transition.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit just about what you do individually?
Yeah. I'm basically responsible for all the content on WKRN.com, which includes everything from stories to video to images, obviously all the content, everything that we air in the morning news. We don't have a noon newscast, but the evening news, the 10 o'clock show, basically everything that I can possibly put on that site. We also have different sections, like an events section. We have contests, whatnot. But I'm primarily in charge of the actual newsworthy content. So,
and do you have any video journalist responsibilities too?
No. In terms of actually going out shooting, doing that sort of thing, not at all. But I do help them. If they have a blog, a lot of our VJs have blogs, which is something that I think all of them are going to have if they don't already have one down the road. And on those blogs, they have video players. So I am in charge of basically maintaining the video on their sites as well, which kind of is a lot on certain days. But for the most part, it's just kind of all in a day's work. But
sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah, I mean, especially when I'm doing, like, we have a 4:30, a 5, and a 6 o'clock show in the evenings. And, I mean, you figure there's at least three or four stories in each half hour, like 15, 16 different video stories that I post online. So our site is very video heavy.
Yeah,
very video heavy.
I noticed that when I looked at it last night.
Which is, I mean, it's good and bad. I mean, some people can't get the video to work, unfortunately, if they have an older computer. That's why I like to make sure there's plenty of, like, text content as well, so they understand it.
Are you the one who gets all the complaints from people if they can't access it, or is that
someone
else?
I get phone calls all the time of people that say, we can't play your video, and it's actually a real simple solution, but over the phone, it's not so simple to kind of explain to them. Yeah. So that's frustrating, a very frustrating part of my job, is that I feel like I work so hard, and then some people can't even see it, so...
Now, you've worked, what's different about working in this newsroom versus working in some of the places you've worked in the past?
In this newsroom, there's definitely more, we cover more stuff. Mm. I mean, I guess our slogan is more people, more places, and that's definitely true. At the station I used to work at, I was also a web producer, and I would post maybe five videos a day. I'm posting close to 20, 25, if you count the whole entire day. So that's definitely a big, huge difference.
And
the fact that people have, a lot of the VJs have different beats. So we have, like, somebody that does, like, the real estate. We have somebody that's, like, outdoor and farming, which I guess makes sense because we live in Tennessee. So that's kind of interesting, too. It's not just hard news. It's not the murders, the robberies, the whatnot. It's, like, Farmer Bob out in the field harvesting his corn, which is kind of...
That's news?
Yeah, it's news, but it's
news to Farmer Bob.
And it's like my grandmother always says, she's like, you know what, the news is so negative these days. And I'm like, you should watch news too. Mm-hmm. Because honestly, like, we might miss, I don't know, the murder that happened in the morning, but we have so much more interesting things that a lot of people actually do care about. So
when you watch this newscast, when you watch the sort of wrap-up that's the actual main news program, what in your mind is different to you about watching that program versus watching any of the other local news programs that you've watched?
The other news programs are very predictable. Like, we'll hear about, I don't know, a 4-car accident on the highway, and you guarantee that that's what they're going to lead with. That's going to be the top story. And it's very predictable. I mean, obviously, the people at home don't know about that accident, so they're not expecting it. But we can almost guarantee it's actually funny. Like, we have some producers here that'll say, oh, 5's leading with that, or 4's leading with that. I don't know, we're different. We do a lot of stuff that people don't have the people to cover. Yeah. But a lot of the other stations don't have the tools, resources.
I feel like local news is usually, like, in Atlanta at least, it's like, you know, you'll see a preview for the evening news, and it'll be like, could something inside your home be killing you and you don't even know it?
Yeah.
Watch at 10.
Right.
You know,
very
like
TV.
Like that.
Yeah. Very TV.
Very, yeah. And even
that was my old station.
Really?
Like,
yeah.
We would, would live around writing promos that made people, like, want to watch, which is great. And I tried to do that even with my headlines on my stories on the web. I want to make it click. Like, I try to make it, like,
enticing.
Exactly.
Enticing. Well, that's one thing, is that if you're distributing anything through an RSS feed down to people's feed readers and things like that, it was something that Scoble was talking about, I believe, when we were in Greensboro, is that you need the headline to be very grabbing.
Yeah.
Because,
I mean,
a lot of people just read the headlines.
Like Drudge and FARC, if they want an enticing headline, they're not going to get clicks.
Yeah.
Or even picked up by one of those sites. So.
Okay, so we were talking about how other stations lead with the 4-car pileup. How is it determined what leads on this channel out of, you know, 20 videos sitting there?
We cater a lot to our demographic, which is, I guess, primarily younger, or not even younger women, but just women in general, women, stay-at-home moms, that sort of thing. So a lot of our lead stories, even our stories in general, are what we say on brand. So... health stories, like weight, diet stories, they're all of interest. Anything that we think, I don't know, a 35, 40-year-old woman, even 60-year-old woman would be interested in.
Well, I saw on the board it says teens and sex and fall foliage.
So fall foliage. I mean, what other station would do a story on fall foliage? I mean, if you just look, I can't really see from the angle, but we do stuff like... all of our stories cater to that audience. So that would be the best way that we... I mean, what mother, what 50-year-old woman wants to see a 50-car pile up.
Yeah.
I don't want to see a 50-car pile up, but I'm 26.
I've seen enough 50-car piles.
Yeah. A four-car pile up.
Yeah. Either way.
I don't want to see that either, but... All right, well...
I guess last question. What do you see happening with the station in the future now that it's moved to this new model? What do you think is going to change in the next year or two?
I think it's already beginning to change towards this model. We have, God, probably about 20 blogs. Mm-hmm. 20 blogs that are specific to that video journalist. The newer blogs, the ones that have been created in, let's say, last month or so, all have a video player. Mm-hmm. So basically, we're making everything they do available on their blog, and I think that everybody in the station is going to have a blog. I don't have one, but I'll probably get one down the road. Everyone in the station is going to have a blog, and they're going to be responsible for not only getting their piece on air, but on their blog as well. And it's going to be like News 2 is on 30-some different sites, not just the site that I personally run. So I think that's the future, and I know for a fact that that's where they're heading, which is cool. More work for me, but it's cool.
Well, thanks so much for speaking with us.
I had originally intended to interview news director Steve Sabato to ask him how ratings with the new format had been working out. He was stuck in meetings, so unfortunately I didn't get the chance. Several sources I've read online indicate that the jury is still out. WKRN's ratings have improved, and its blogs now receive more traffic than its main website, but the station still trails its competitors. Only time will tell if this model is feasible for local news stations. You can visit WKRN on the web at WKRN.com. The song you heard in this podcast was Flux by Drop Trio, available only on Magnatune.com.
Thanks for listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network. Visit us at gapodcastnetwork.com. If you have a question, comment, or drunken rant, leave us a voicemail by calling 678-389-9441. Who knows, it might be featured in a podcast. You can also email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com.